Romans chapter 12. So if you'll stand with me, if you would. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read. You can follow along in your Bibles, beginning in verse 6. It is said here in the Word of God, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. And tonight's a characteristic that we're going to look at is simply that of being courteous, being hospitable. Folks, you know, if there's one thing that we can do, is we can receive folks. We can be hospitable. We can be courteous to others. You know, Jesus set a precedent in his ministry. He told them, hey, look, if they ask you for your coat, give them your cloak too. If they ask you to go with them 1 mile, go with them too. If they slap you on the cheek, turn the other cheek and let them slap you again. You know, you understand that the Lord said, hey, we need to be receiving of people. And we need to be accepting and we need to be courteous and loving of others. You know, it's often said, it's funny because Brother Lasser brought this up just the other day, and I've said it here before too. He's heard preachers say, the ministry would be great if it weren't for the people. I mean, how dumb. I'm sorry if a preacher you love ever said that. How dumb. I've said some dumb things before, too, so it's okay. But no, ministry is the people. You know, lost people need to be saved. They need a good testimony. They need a good witness. And why would someone want to be a Christian when the Christian is ugly and mean and hateful and bitter and complaining and... I don't want that. Why would I want to trust Christ and be turned into an old lemon? You know, no thanks. And that's not at all how we should respond. And so I love what is said here in Romans 12, that we ought to be given to hospitality. We need to learn to be courteous. In Ephesians 4:32, the Bible says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And folks, I can say this. I'm kind of preaching to the choir. You all have been very courteous to us in moving here and to others. And that's one of the strengths of this church. But it doesn't hurt to hone our talents and abilities. And we're going to do that tonight, looking at this characteristic of being courteous. Just for fun, I spelled out the word hospitality. Okay? Hospitality. That's a long word. Okay? And I just want to give you some thoughts. And these thoughts go with this idea of being courteous. When you think of someone who is courteous, you think of someone who is hospitable, don't you? Who's receptive to others and accepting of others. And, you know, maybe you think of the lady that receives you at the restaurant and takes you to a table, or you know, things like that. And you think of someone who is warm and welcoming, right? That's someone who's courteous, someone who says please and thank you, right? Someone who might introduce themselves or take the time to look you in the eye, or when they ask you, well, how are you doing? You know, they really mean it. That's someone who's courteous, someone who is given to hospitality. You know, that's one of the attributes of a pastor. So
supposed to be given to hospitality. It's a shame if a pastor's not welcoming, right? It's a shame if a pastor says, "Oh, why'd you come to my church tonight? Why couldn't you go over there or over there? There's 20 other churches you drove by to come here. Why'd you have to come here and bother us?" Okay. I'm going to go to the other church because I don't like you. I mean, come on, really? I mean, we should be welcoming. Now, listen, if someone comes in here trying to steal away God's sheep, I'm going to have to do some, varmint hunting. But that's a little different than being hospitable. But you understand there's a difference. Now, so let's talk about hospitality. First of all, the H in hospitality. I came up with the word host. When you think of a host, you think of a person who receives others. Are you receiving of others? Are you accepting of others? Or do you always have a complaint? Do you always have, no, they don't do this and they don't do that and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, well, neither do you. What are you, God's gift to creation? You think you're something special? Well, we're all special. That means none of us are. Okay. So you understand. Being a host. In Romans chapter 15, it says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." We talked about being kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Why should we do that? Well, because Christ did for us. Well, did Jesus put some kind of a sign up there saying, "Well, you can only trust me and have eternal life if you do this, 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 if you look this way, if you dress this way, if you do that, if that"? No. No. It's whosoever will may come. It's whosoever salvation. Anyone can come to Jesus Christ. You, Pastor Combs, you telling me that a mass murderer, that a rapist, that a horrible, awful person on death row can accept Jesus Christ? Yes, they can. Well, that's not fair. They're so terrible. They're so evil. Okay. But they're not my qualifications. They're not your qualifications. God said, "Whosoever will may come." It's a whosoever salvation. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, and if Christ is willing to reach us, listen, folks, we get to these predetermined things in our minds to say, "Well, they can't be saved, and they can't be saved, and oh, they wouldn't make a good church member." And who died and made you judge, jury, and executioner? No, that's not fair. That's not right. That's not how God deals with us. It says, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Luke chapter 9, verses 47 and 48 says, "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child, and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great." You know, in this passage of Scripture, the disciples were kind of fussing amongst themselves, saying, "No, we can't take these children to Jesus, because he's going to bother the Lord." He's like, "Hey, fellas, get real. Let the children come. Let them come unto me." And you know, over and over again, the disciples, they tried to protect Jesus from the masses, right? From being bothered. And he wanted to be among them. Remember, the Bible tells us he had compassion on them and as sheep without having a shepherd. And he loved them and he wanted to see them saved and wanted to see them helped. Because that's who our God is. Folks, we got to be willing to receive people. All different shapes, all different sizes. And Dr. Smith always said this, that the gospel light attracts all strange kind of bugs. Yeah. Okay, let me just do a little refresher course for you. Look around. Okay, and just look up here, because this is the strangest bug in the group, I tell you that. Now listen, but we need to learn to receive people. Why do we feel like we need backdoor revivals in our Baptist churches? It's hard enough to get them in the front door. Hey, people come with quirks. People come with presuppositions. People come with all kinds of things. But as long as this book can stay paramount, as long as we can follow the Word of God and base our faith on this book. Now, if you don't agree with this book, you don't belong here. Okay? That's not being hospitable. Okay? That's standing on principles. But the thing about it is you say, well, yeah, I do this and I do that, and we all have preferences, we all have opinions. Hey, I mean, if I were so bold as to say, you can't be a member of this church unless you drive a Ford. Okay, there'd be some that wouldn't drive, that wouldn't come to this church anymore. Well, that's just a preference. Where is that in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. That wouldn't be right. And if I said, well, you can't be a member of this church unless you like coffee and donuts, because we do coffee and donuts on Sunday morning and Sunday school. So if you don't like coffee and donuts, you can't be a member of this church. You couldn't fit in here. Why? That's not right. You know, someone asked me the other day. They said, hey, I'd like to come visit your church. I said, okay, we'd sure love to. She goes, what's the dress code? I said, we don't have a dress code. I said, we want you to come to church. Now, do we believe that there's a certain way that we should live our lives and dress? Yes. But I'm not going to tell somebody who's wearing Bermuda shorts and a tank top that they can't come in here. Well, why would I do that? They need Jesus. They need salvation. They need help. Why would I turn them away? Now, you got to use wisdom, but we need to be one who has a mindset to receive others. Okay? I'm not going to sway on convictions and principles and Bible doctrine, but I'm going to be willing to give them an opportunity to come to where the Bible is. And because most people don't know, do they? They have zero idea of what the Word of God says. Because they've maybe never read it. They've maybe never been around it. We've got to learn to be a host, someone who receives guests. The O in hospitality stands for being observant. Okay? Pay attention. I'm going to quote it during however long the Lord allows me to be here. Maybe next month. Who knows? As long as I'm here, I'm going to probably quote Dr. Smith a million times, I'm sure. But Dr. Smith always said, be alert. The world needs more alerts. Okay, I like puns too, okay? We need to be observant. In Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I can't help but take you to in Luke when Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, Jesus, why do you have to go through Samaria? There's other paths to take. No, guys, there's a woman going to be at a well at this time, at this place. She needs salvation. That city needs salvation. I'm going there. And they go there. He didn't tell them that, by the way. But he just said, I must needs go through Samaria. They get to the well. The disciples go into town to buy food. They were hungry. I don't blame them. Walking long distances is you know, worth eating for. Amen? I'm okay with that. But here's the problem that I have. I teach this in one of my Sunday school lessons. Usually, from a city to the well outside the city, there was one path. Now, it doesn't tell us this, so we're supposing this. You understand? I'm going to say they walked past that woman going into town to buy food. They did not talk to her about the Lord. While they were coming back from town to buy food, she was going into town to tell everybody about what she found at the well. They did not talk to her coming back. They went to town to buy food. They were in a town that they knew not where to find food. So I'm going to suppose they had to ask somebody, where do we buy food? going to suppose that they asked somebody who bought the food, or who had the food, hey, how much is the food? We need this much food. Here's the money. Thank you for the food. They did not say anything about the Lord. See, how do you know they didn't? Because the woman went back into town, got the people, and took them out to Jesus. The disciples did not. When the disciples got back to Jesus, if you look at his tone in there in the book of Luke, if you look at his tone, he was reading them the riot act. He said, look, the fields are white already unto harvest. And I think if you were to read between the lines, he said, hey, dummies, you walked past the woman twice. You went to town and talked to all those people and didn't tell them about me. Hello, we're here to see people saved and you didn't say a word. Be observant. Be observant. Be quick to notice, perceive, be alert. Know what's going on around you as far as it comes to ministering to people. Hey, you are not the most important thing in the universe. So get your mind off yourself and put it on others. If you want real joy, Jesus, others, you. You're last. That's J-O-Y. We're doing acrostics tonight. Didn't you notice? God wants us to be observant. Moving along quickly. The S in hospitality stands for smile. Smile. Be welcoming. Friendly. Be happy. Hey, if salvation is the only thing that ever happens good in your life, that's enough to make you happy for over 100 years. Okay? You say, well, everything else has gone wrong. But you get to go to heaven. Isn't that good enough? No. No, I want a nice car. I want lots of money. I want a nice house. Wham. Just smile. You know, I'm sorry, but sometimes Baptists are some of the most sour people I've ever met. Like, but why? We've got the truth. We've got the Word of God. We've got salvation. It's a joy. We need to show ourselves friendly. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I've got to hurry. I told you I wasn't going to take extra time tonight. The P in hospitality stands for purpose. Purpose. Are you a driven individual? Or are you just kind of a floater? Just kind of, let's go here. Just bobbing around in the sea of life. Just floating here, floating there. No, have some purpose, folks. And the Bible speaks of being diligent. It speaks about living life with purpose. Making the most of our life, being productive, being fruitful. Right? Does that sound like somebody who's just bobbing around? No. No, we need to have an intended, desired result. An aim. A goal. I love the little story about the little boy with the Red Ryder BB gun, right? He's out in his front yard. This distinguished man. Son, what are you doing? Shooting at the moon? You know, son, you're never going to hit the moon with that BB gun. Getting closer than you are. I mean, come on. Right? Have some goals. Be purpose-driven in your life. Know where you're going, what you're doing, how you're going to do it. Have an intended, desired result. Have some purpose. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are the called according to His purpose. God has a purpose. Jesus said, I am here to do the work of Him that sent me. He said, hey, I'm here to do a job. Do you think that the Lord was purposed in His life? I do. You know what?
His father, Joseph, earthly father, taught him to be a carpenter. I bet you Jesus could really make some stuff. I mean, you talk about perfect corners. Yeah, all the crown molding in his house lined up. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, I want to be in the boat that he built, because I know it ain't sinking anywhere at any time. But you understand, I'm sure he did that extremely well. And when he entered into his earthly ministry here on, when he made the water into wine, the host said, "Hey, you say, usually they bring out the best wine first and they save the bad stuff till the end." He goes, "You saved the best to the end. It was the best. Everything Jesus did was the best. He had a purpose, a desired and intended result. And we ought to as well." Do you show purpose when you're working with others? Or are you just lackadaisical about, "Yeah, whatever happens, happens. Oh, if I get a chance to witness to him, then I do. And if I don't, I don't." Well, what purpose? What desired result do you have? What goal do you have for that encounter? The I in hospitality, the first one, stands for initiative. Initiative. Readiness, ability in action. In James 1:25 it says, "But whoso look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Are you looking for opportunities? Are you like Jesus and you have to go here because there's this person that you need to talk to? Hey, when you're walking down the street and someone's coming across your path, I'll tell you this. The other day I was at the Tom Thumb grocery store. That's not an advertisement for Tom Thumb, but I guess it could be. But I was there, and there was an elderly gentleman coming to the line the same time I was. And I had a basket of food, and he had 3 bananas in his hand. And I could tell he was a little bit of a poor man, maybe poorly dressed, etc. But this little old guy, he had 3 bananas in his hand. I said, "Go ahead." He goes, "Oh, no, you got here first." I said, no, you go ahead." And so he put his bananas down, and I'm telling you, God said to me, "Buy those bananas for that man." It's 3 bananas, folks. It cost me like 55 cents. It was nothing. I mean, but God told me to do it. So I looked at him. I said, I told the kid at the checkout thing. I said, "Put that on my bill." And the guy's like, no, you can't do that. You let me in front of you in the line." I said, "This is not, you can't argue with God, and you're not going to argue with me. So God told me to buy your bananas for you." He's like, no, you can't do that." I said, "Yes, I can, and I'm going to." I said, "Son, put those on my bill and give the man his bananas." Now, this old fella, he's probably, I don't know, 70, 80 years old. I don't know how old he was. And I'm just a 43-year-old young fella telling him what to do. He said, "You shouldn't treat your elders like that." Well, he was being stubborn, and I was just more stubborn than he was. That's all. But I was able to give the man a gospel tract. And he received it. Because I bought the man 3 bananas. Folks, take initiative. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Don't pass by opportunities that God gives to us to be hospitable, to be courteous to others. The T in hospitality, the first one here, is thoughtful. Showing consideration to others. I already read to you Ephesians 4:32. Folks, we need to consider and preferring others better than ourselves, the Bible tells us. We've got to learn that it's not all about us. Being courteous means we're putting others first to the glory of God. Not to glory in ourselves, but to the glory of God. Awareness is the A here in hospitality. Being informed, alert, knowledgeable. You know, the Bible says that we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to any man that asketh of the hope that is within us. We need to be ready to give them an answer. We need to be aware of the circumstances around us. In Ephesians 5, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil."
You know, a hospitable person, a courteous person, is not a lazy person. Do you know it takes effort to put others first? It takes effort. And that's okay.
The L here in hospitality stands for lively, animated, spirited, vivacious.
We like those words, don't we?
They're fun to say. In 1 Peter 2, it says, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Folks, we need to be lively. I was listening to something, an interview one time, and the individual was talking about why they joined the charismatic movement of today. And the statement the lady made was she remembered growing up in a dead church. And everybody stood there singing the hymns, you know. Sit down. Stop it. Just rough and gruff. No life. Just dead. She said that really turned her off, and she really enjoyed. And now I'm not telling you to all go contemporary. Okay? But listen here. Don't we have a reason to live? Doesn't God want us to abound? And to be fruitful and to be lively? Hey, listen, you don't have to move your body and all that stuff to show that you're lively. You can be animated. You can be excited about what God is doing in your life. It's okay to show a little bit of of emotion. Now, you won't catch me crying very often, but maybe at some time or another. But you understand, we've got to express the love of Jesus Christ that's within us. I mean, there's times to be stoic and there's times to be happy, to be unstoic. Okay, let's just call it the opposite of that. To be animated and lively, spirited, vivacious. The next I here in hospitality is interaction. It's kind of hard to be courteous and hospitable if you never talk to anybody. So I'm just shy. Get over it. Yeah, get over it. Be willing to say, hi, my name's Eric. What's your name? Oh, hey, is this the first time you visited our church? Oh, we're so glad to have you here. Hey, interaction. Talking to people. You say, well, I'm just not like that. Well, get like that. A little bit. Okay? Just a little bit. You don't have to be like me. Actually, I encourage you not to be like me. But listen, we've got to do something. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The last T in hospitality stands for testimony. Our testimony is an open declaration of our faith. An open declaration. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God tells us to bear witness. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. We ought to tell people our testimony. Hey, I got saved. This is my testimony. Jesus Christ saved me. Have you been born again? You know, we've got to be a witness. We've got to be able to be open and profess our faith to others. And then the why in hospitality is being yielded, surrendered to God. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. We've got to say, God, just use me in my life. Help me to be courteous. Help me to be welcoming and warm and receiving of others. Help me to be courteous and hospitable in my life. Folks, we all can probably do a little better job. And like I said at the very beginning, you all have been wonderful in my opinion. But God wants us all to get better as believers in Christ. And being courteous and being hospitable. And let me just say this.
the tone of these thoughts isn't just to others outside the church. How about to those inside the church? One thing I'm constantly after my children about is how they talk to their brothers and sisters. I mean, I'm after them on almost a daily basis. But can I say to you, brothers and sisters in Christ, be courteous. Be kindly affectioned one to another. Love the brethren. Bear one another's burdens. Speak kindly to each other. Speak to each other. Okay, for that matter. You understand? This is something that we can develop amongst fellow believers and to the lost in our community. God just wants us to be courteous. You know, I've had to work over the years of... I know you don't believe this. Okay, I can tell you the story. I know you don't believe this. I was the most impersonable person you've ever met. Yeah, you say, no way. Way. In high school, I was content to have like two friends. I would rather have been by myself than be in a crowd of people. I was a kind of a loner. I did not like people. I didn't, if you will, I mean, I didn't like them, okay, but I had like two or three friends that went to my church and in my youth group, but that was it. And I didn't care. I didn't want to be popular. I didn't even want people to know my name. I just wanted to be left alone. And you say, you? Yeah, me. Isn't that amazing? Can I tell you something? I was always that way. And when God called me to preach, He changed my temperament. Now I love people. Yeah, I want to talk to people. I love getting to tell this story, that story, talk to this, talk to that. You know, I don't know a stranger. And that's not who I was. God can change you, folks, if you let Him. You suppose I'd be any good at being a pastor if I always wanted to be by myself? Probably not. Right? That's not given to hospitality. That's not being showing that you're courteous to others and receiving of others if you're always shying away from people. That's no way to show the love of Christ. So, well, this is who I am. I know. Ask God to change your heart. Now, it's okay to be a private person. I'm okay with that. But at least get outside the box every once in a while and be courteous and hospitable to others.